So you told me once or twice that you've been to SeaWorld, but specifically SeaWorld, is it Orlando in Florida? Okay, so what were your thoughts? You say that you've been there somewhere between as many as 10 to 9 times, and you usually go on your family holiday, is that right?
Well, I'm not sure usually, but been there, and I thought it was quite a nice place to be. The shows were entertaining. Obviously, there's aspects of the way the animals are kept. Obviously, you don't see much of that, and that's I guess I have never really put much thought into it. But yeah, I think it's quite a nice place to be.
Okay, and what species do you remember seeing when you were there?
Oof, I saw penguins, I saw dolphins, I saw a killer whale, orca. I saw some otters.
Nice.
Think that's all I can remember for now.
I'm trying to think what breed of penguin it would have been that you would have seen. I'm not too sure if they would have had emperor penguins. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember that much.
No seals.
Oh, Clyde and Seymour. Yes, there was.
Okay, I love that you remember their names. Okay,
Because it's
cool.
an otter and sea lion show.
Ah, I see. Okay, cool. Greetings, Grandad here, and here to bring you a few things before we kickstart the show today. Firstly, a listener's message to say that the jokes and impressions in this show are simply for the purpose of entertainment and not meant to cause any offense. It would be great if you could take a moment to rate us on Apple Podcast and drop us a review if you are enjoying the show. Find us on our Facebook page, Better Show, and there you will find more spooky tales, both fiction and non-fiction. And lastly, don your tinfoil hats, crack your heads back as far as they will go, and look to the stars, because tonight is going to be a better show.
Imagine that it is nighttime. You are all alone on an overlook that spans hundreds of miles. There, you can not only see the land, but also gain a full appreciation of the universe above you. The stars, they shine bright tonight, almost too bright. You are alone, and yet you can never be alone ever again. The stars, they seem to be fading, and your vision with them. And with that, you remember exactly where you are.
So let's start off with something kind of happy and jolly, but still along the theme of aquatics.
Aquarium?
Yep.
Bob?
Hello?
Charlie? Does Eric work there anymore?
Sorry, can I get you to repeat that? Sorry, the line's a bit rough.
Eric.
No.
Frank.
No, there's no one by that name who works there.
Josh, my bad. Horseshoe fish? Do you have horseshoe fish?
Don't believe we do, unfortunately.
Jason Momoa is playing Aquaman.
Right. I think you're calling the wrong place, unfortunately.
Karate Kid?
Nope.
Or let me just ask you one more question.
Pepper.
Man. Now, do you guys have fish there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
People tell me that is there really big fish there?
Yeah, we've the largest fish are koi.
Quest for Koi. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Ridiculous. So I'm just trying to figure out. Do you like Aquaman?
Sure.
Tom, are you gonna go watch it?
Probably.
Umbrellas are good when it's raining.
Right.
Valentine's Day is probably one of my favorite holidays, but what would you say if an X-ray machine and the... Yeah! You know, Zebra Rule! Yeah! I love you, dude! We did it! Hello?
Yeah.
Dude, I love you. This is Jason Momoa, and this... you tell him.
Okay, it's Matt Edmondson from Radio 1 here. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, good. So you're just chatting to Jason Momoa from Justice League. He plays Aquaman.
I'm so sorry.
You handled that call very calmly, Alice, considering it was like a man phoning up to have a breakdown.
You deserve a raise, sir. You are a total gentleman.
That was so good. How was that for you, Jason?
Horrible. Thank you. I feel like I want to put pajamas on and throw a brick in your leg.
Thank you so much. Aquaman is out now. Go and see it. It is an absolute treat for the eyes.
Oh.
So, that's my little kind of like claim to fame. I like that. There you go. I think Grandad did okay. So now let's start off this episode. We're going to be talking about mainly the documentary Blackfish, where Dr. Manor. I keep on forgetting that. Grand promotion. Yeah. There was bunting and all sorts.
It was PhDs and
it was great. I am, of course, joined by your good self, and we watched the documentary together, so let's start it off with a bit of a recap and also a bit of a collaboration of all audio that I found from these three documentaries that we've covered over the course of this, I guess, aquatic special.
Lovely.
It's so bizarre, because if you didn't know what's going on over here, you would think this is a town that loves dolphins and whales.
On our left here is the infamous Taiji Whale Museum. And I really, really hate this place. The mayor of this town actually gave me the key to the city. I was welcome in. Today they would kill me if they could. And I'm not exaggerating. If these fishermen could catch me and kill me, they would.
They had aircraft, they had spotters, they had speedboats, they had bombs they were throwing in the water. And then they had fishing boats with seine nets that they would stretch across, so none could leave, and then they could just pick out the young ones.
I lost it. I mean, I just started crying. I didn't stop working, but I, just couldn't handle it. It's like kidnapping a little kid away from a mother. When the whole hunt was over, there were three dead whales in the net, and so they had Peter and Brian and I cut the whales open, fill them with rocks, put anchors on their tail, and sink them. But this is the worst thing that I've ever done.
The supervisors basically was kind of mocking me, like, oh, you're saying poor Kalina? You know, what's she gonna do without her mommy? And, you know, and that, of course, just shut me up. After Kalina was removed from the scene and put on the truck and taken to the airport, and Katina, her mom, was left in the pool. She stayed in the corner of the pool, literally just shaking and screaming, screeching, crying. I've never seen her do anything like that. And the other females in the pool, maybe once or twice during the night, they'd come out and check on her, and she'd screech and cry, and they would just run back.
Kasaka continued to make vocals that had never been heard before. They brought in the senior research scientist to analyze the vocals. They were long range vocals. She was trying something that no one had even heard before, looking for Takara. That's heartbreaking. How can anyone look at that and think that that is morally acceptable? It's not.
Wotapurki doesn't have a good reputation. People that work in the business know the reputation of places, and Lotto Park 8 does not have a good reputation.
There's something wrong, you know, with Temlikum, that there's something wrong, and that's when you have a relationship with the animal and you understand that he's killing not to be a savage. He's not killing because he's just crazy. He's not killing because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's killing because he's frustrated and he's got aggravations and he doesn't know how to, he has no outlet for it.
The safest inference would be these are animals that have highly elaborated emotional lives. It's becoming clear that dolphins and whales have a sense of self, a sense of social bonding that they've taken to another level, much stronger, much more complex than in other mammals, including humans. We look at mass strandings, the fact that they stand by each other. Everything about them is social. Everything.
It's time to stop the shows. It's time to stop forcing the animals to perform in basically a circus environment. And they should release the animals that are young enough and healthy enough to be released. And the animals like Tilikum, who are old and sick and have put in 25 years in the industry, should be released to an open ocean pen so they can live out their lives and just experience the natural rhythms of the ocean.
This is a multi-billion dollar corporation that makes its money through the exploitation of orcas.
They're not suitable to have in captivity.
The whales are really bored. You deprive them of all this environmental stimulation.
I think that in 50 years, we'll look back and go, my God, what a barbaric time.
Then put these long poles in the water, which have a flange on the bottom, and they just bang on these poles with hammers, and they create a wall of sound which frightens the dolphins.
They're looking for bottlenose dolphin primarily. They're looking for footprints.
Swimming with orcas is inherently dangerous, and that you can't completely predict the outcome when you enter the water or enter their environment.
If you were in a bathtub for 25 years, don't you think you'd get a little irritated, aggravated, maybe a little psychotic?
SeaWorld's whale performances may never be the same.
Right now, the theme park is arguing in court to keep whale trainers in the water, something OSHA says is extremely dangerous.
These are wild animals, and they are unpredictable because we don't speak whale. We don't speak whale, we don't speak tiger, we don't speak monkey.
We're pulling the fish out of the ocean at such a rate and eroding and diminishing our marine ecosystems so bad that the whole thing could collapse.
If we were to see pilot whales, we would try to make sure that they don't come anywhere close Hunting Bay. If we cannot stop willingly killing pilot whales, I don't see how we have any chance to stop the accidental slaughter that's being provoked by all the human actions. The worst is actually for the last whale to die, because that whale has seen all her family die and they are drowning in each other's blood.
You have no business in our islands!
Well, that's your opinion. Yeah. You're entitled to it. But we
next
have
year, you're not
here.
Coming into this country!
Okay, you
You are out. Not activists, you are terrorists!
So. There was a lot of information there, and it's fair to say that there was a lot of information in the documentary that we just watched as well. So I think I'm going to, because at the beginning of the show, I grabbed from you an opinion on SeaWorld. Yeah. I think actually I'm going to wait until the end of this show in order to grab that opinion from you again. So to fill you guys in, because obviously we've seen the documentary, you know all of this, but we're going to fill you guys in, Blackfish, or the Orca Captivity documentary. It's sourced from the information I got here is sourced from the Blackfish documentary primarily. And to start off with, on February the 24th, 2010, in SeaWorld Orlando, there was a fatality. SeaWorld as a facility hosts shows that humans partially star in, and the other star is either a whale or a dolphin. There are both day and night shows, and the night shows are said to be very emotional and including popular music. The trainers say that there is a very personal bond that is formed, and that they experience something when they look into the eyes of the orca, that there is someone looking back at you. So Dawn, a senior trainer, was a massive loss to SeaWorld, but not only that, her loss was misdocumented and lied about, as well as many other incidences involving other whales. The account was that Dawn was scalped and there was no blood, and that the whale had never let go of her arm that he'd gotten hold of, instead had swallowed it, leading to an argument at court to allow trainers in the water, and the desire was to have a physical barrier between the whales and the people.
Yeah.
39 years before that, a capture of an orca was taking place. The capture crew were using speedboats, helicopters and bombs in order to herd whales. The whales attempted to deceive the capture team by splitting up, with the mothers taking the more desirable calves away and the males were being pursued by the capture team. However, their eye in the sky had alerted the capture team what the orcas were doing. Once the team were in the process of getting the young orcas out of the water, the net had been dropped so that the other orcas could leave, but instead stayed and were communicating back and forth. It was a massive example of the strong family bond that they had.
Mm.
After the hunt was done, there were three dead whales in the net, which you hear in the recount that I just played back to you guys. And the team were told to cut the whales open, fill them with rocks, attach anchors to their tails and sink them. 1976 was when they were ejected from Washington. However, not missing a beat, they went from Washington to Iceland and started capturing there. In 1983, a male orca was captured in the North Atlantic, and he was only 2 years old and measured 11.5 feet long. This orca was named Tilikum. Even saying that name, it sends like a shiver down my spine. I don't know about you, but just knowing everything that happened.
Not quite as much to me, but yeah, you've got a deeper connection with this than I think I have, but yeah, maybe I'm just a bit of a heartless bastard.
No, I think should probably say, because I did a presentation today. I'm doing a lot of presentations at the moment for this kind of activist movement that I'm working on, and someone actually asked me during this presentation where the inspiration and interest came from, and I will fully admit that it comes from a rather cliche place: my love for the Free Willy films. So I adopted an orca from that, and if I remember the story correctly, I adopted him for 6 years, and then they started sending me photos of another orca claiming it to be the orca that I had adopted, and I lost a lot of faith through that because I'd essentially been lied to.
Okay.
His name was Arrow, male orca.
Oh.
So originally the sea land that was in Victoria was simply a net that was stretched around a marina with a float in it. His previous trainer, so Tilikum's previous trainer, was said to involve punishment with Tilikum. These punishments would be seen when Tilikum would be teamed up with an already trained orca and set off to do the same trick. If Tilikum failed to do the trick, then both orcas would be punished. And this in itself caused a lot of frustration with the larger trained orca that would rake Tilikum. This would be teeth on teeth marks that would go all the way down his body. Tilikum also was harassed by the two females that he was placed with. The whales during the night would be stored in an area called the module. So the module was a 20 feet across by 30 feet deep pool, which really is not that big. I guess the best way for me to describe it, because I know a lot of people don't know what feet looks like, but like I guess maybe 1.5 of your average semi-detached British houses. It's really not that big.
Yeah.
It was a 30 feet deep pool, and this was a safety precaution because even back then they were worried that people would cut the net and let the orcas free. Even all the lights would be turned out during the night, and that is where they would spend 2/3 of their lives. Food deprivation was a tactic that the staff would use when it became harder and harder to get the whales into the module. They would not give them food until they swam into the module, therefore associating the module with food. In the morning, there would be fresh teeth rakes and sometimes blood. With all this being done to Tilikum, it is believed by some to have been the events that led to a psychosis, and from that, the events that played out in 2010. Before that, though, there was another facility in SeaWorld, at a SeaWorld park in Canada called SeaLand of the Pacific. On the 21st of February 1991, Kelty Byrne was drowned to death by not just Tillicum, but by two other orcas as well. The recount states that she was pulled to the bottom of the enclosure after she fell into the pool. Once there, she was tossed around by the three orcas until she drowned, and it took Sealand employees 2 hours to recover her body from the orcas. Kelty was a championship swimmer and aimed to swim faster at the upcoming nationals, and was only a part-time worker at Sealand. Sealand did close down, and the owner was shocked by what had happened, and there was no memorial towards Kelty, and there was no lawsuit, and the news even documented that the event was down to the fact that she'd accidentally drowned. SeaWorld really wanted Tillicum after the closure of Sealand for the purpose of breeding, and that was believed by the carers of Tillicum, and it was believed by the carers of Tillicum that he would be receiving far better care than he had been previously at Sealand. It's worth mentioning that to this day, there are no accounts of wild orca causing any harm to humans in the wild. During scientific research, it was discovered that orca have a part of the brain that humans don't have. This part is next to the part of the brain that processes emotion and therefore has a greater capacity for emotion and is a bigger part of their day-to-day lives compared to humans. Some fishermen call orca blackfish and believe that they contain a great amount of spiritual power and should not be meddled with. When Tillicum arrived at SeaWorld, he was attacked viciously by the other orca. In the wild, males can get away, but at SeaWorld, he was so large and put with the females for the purpose of breeding. He was said to always be happy to see the trainers in the morning and didn't give the impression of being the quote-unquote scary whale. And the impression that was originally given was that Tillicum had nothing to do with the death at Sealand. SeaWorld instructed that any footage of Tillicum acting strangely towards trainers should be destroyed. There were lines that SeaWorld employees had to say during the shows that the creatures, stating that the creatures that they were interacting with didn't have to do what they were doing in the show. They were doing it because they wanted to. There was a birth at SeaWorld as well, and the calf had become quite disruptive to her mother during the show, and when she was only 4 to 4.5 years old, the decision was made that the calf should be moved. So you also had that bit of audio in that 6-minute clip as well. It's one of the hardest bits of audio I've ever had to listen to. After the calf was taken from the pool, the mother stayed in the corner of the pool just shaking and crying for the loss of her calf. The calls that the mother was sending out were analysed, and it turned out that the calls that she was using were long-range calls in an effort to call out and find her calf. There was a lot of disinformation being spread around by the employees of SeaWorld, specifically towards the ages of orca. Now, this is something that I really fucking hate. Disinformation towards any aquatic life is an absolute pain in the arse and causes nothing but distress and unnecessary death, loss of life for any aquatic creature. It's something that I encountered, if I may use my own personal experience as an example, at Maidenhead Aquatics. Mm-hmm. So something that lots of people say, and I don't know whether you've been under this belief, good doctor, but lots of people believe that, say, even the common goldfish will live to 2 to 3 years, most 10, and will then die. And will stay around about the same size, measuring no longer than 10 to around about 20, 25 centimetres.
Yeah, I've seen goldfish much bigger than that.
Goldfish can get over a metre in length. I have seen them. I have filmed them. I have footage of it. If you reach out to me on Better Show, if you don't fucking believe me, I will send you that footage. But so the reason why is because back in the day when goldfish were highly popular, they still are, and I know because I sold a fair amount of them, that they're probably some old bastard who was like, I kept goldfish in a bowl or in a trough for 2-3 years, dead. I'm going to just tell people that's how it was. And that's where the disinformation spread from there. Even though we are in the information age, I still believe that word of mouth is not only the most powerful, but also the most disruptive form of information ever. Like, all you need to do is hear something from someone, and then that could become law in your head. And then you say it to the next person, it spreads from there. They might take it on as law, and that's essentially how the whole goldfish thing went down.
And also people can mishear things and then repeat that and...
Absolutely, but I would say that a fair amount of it is down to people not doing enough research and taking what they discovered as law and then throwing it out there. And it's exactly the same case with Orca. They were saying at SeaWorld that they could only reach to ages of 25 to 30, and that's even in the wild, and that the dorsal collapse that was seen with Tilikum and every single male orca that was kept into captivity was a lot more frequent in the wild. And so this isn't actually the case. I think it's less than 1% of orca in the wild suffer with a dorsal collapse. And
well, in the video they were saying it was 25% of males or something, they were saying it happens to, which,
but then there was,
yeah, is not true.
There was another recount from a far more reliable source that it's actually 100% of male orca suffer with dorsal collapse when they're in captivity.
Yeah. And in the wild, it's less than 1%.
Yeah, and the orca in the wild, the females can live up to 100 or even surpass that, and then the males somewhere between 50 to 60 years old. Yeah. It's quite a big age difference, but it's far more than what they were claiming, and still are.
Yeah, not dissimilar to humans, really.
No, absolutely not. So whales have died in captivity due to aggression between orca that doesn't happen in the wild. There were mistakes made, like interacting with orca without a spotter. So I don't really know what the spotter's job, but I'm hoping that it's very self-explanatory by the name. It's someone who's going to keep an eye and, you know, perhaps blow a whistle so that we might distract the orca. It's basically your backup while you're performing.
Yeah, it's everything that you said.
So there are a documented 70 plus orca and people incidents that none of them were told to people that were employed and would be interacting with orca. So if you can remember, I'd like you to recount one of those orca incidences that we saw, and it was the one with the gentleman riding on the orca's back and then another orca came out of the water.
Ooh, yeah.
So do you remember what happened there?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Man on orca's back doing what would look like the lead up to a trick. Orca was just building up some speed to go forward. The other orca decides he's not going to be part of this trick and decides to jump up and basically lands on the back of the orca that the trainer is on. And yeah, the recount in the documentary was the only thing that really kept the guy together was his wetsuit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, yeah, imagine the force of two whales coming together and like being
I mean, Tilikum, during the documentary, I don't remember at what point of his life this was measured,
12,000 pounds,
yeah, so somewhere around 6 tons he was measured at some point.
Yeah.
I would venture to suggest that the orca that did that could have been even larger, and a whale coming down with force with that weight behind it as well is going to feel a lot more than 6 tons.
Yeah, and if you've got that same force that you're being pushed against,
yeah.
It's not like, yeah.
So November 29th, 2006, a SeaWorld trainer was recovering after a terrifying ordeal. And this is probably one of the most terrifying attacks I've ever seen. The whale took Ken Peters to the bottom of the pool by grabbing hold of his foot, let him go, and then took him down again. The periods he was taken under the water were around 1 minute to 1 minute 20. The senior trainer didn't struggle, instead patted the whale. The whale let go of one of his feet and then grabbed hold of the other and took him right down again. Luckily, Peters was an experienced scuba diver and this contributed to his survival. Ken was near to the end, however, but he did manage to get the whale to let him go while a net was put across the pool. And then Ken swam for the side of the pool while the whale came after him. And SeaWorld, instead of taking this as like a sign, they took this as a victory over how they teach their trainers instead of being so close to another fatality due to the mistreating of these creatures. I'd like to state that the mistreating of these creatures section is a part I added. But I am in absolute belief that a whale in the wild would not have done that. And there's a great recount, actually. I think I shared it on my Facebook page, so if anyone's a personal friend of me, do go find this. But it's a recount of a lady, and it's an aerial, I guess it's like a drone that's filming her or whatever, but she's just swimming in the ocean, and she, as far as she's aware, she's just swimming. And then three orca come up behind her, and she's not aware that they're there or anything like that, and all they do is just like bop her along. They just push her along with their snoots. And they interact with her. They swim with her for about 2-3 minutes. And then they leave. Oh. That's all they do. They just like to interact with people. They instinctively want to be your friend. They're not the killer whales that everyone seems to believe. Like
pretty good killers of seals.
Oh yeah, so it's probably worth... I wanted to do a bit more research on orca, but I like to think that my understanding and years of reading up on them would carry me a little bit further with this. So I've looked into orcas' diets. So they will go after seals. They will go after whales, believe it or not. So there's an account in a Blue Planet episode where a pod of killer whales go after a grey whale and her calf. The orca tire out the calf, separate it from its mother, and then jump on it and suffocate it under the water and only eat part of the jaw. So they are vicious hunters.
Yeah, I mean, there's even been a recount of... killer of a pod of killer whales taking down a great white shark.
Yeah, absolutely. So great whites will avoid orca. And they even go after young orca will go after stingrays. And they'll put their lives at risk for the sake of an easy bite. When I say easy bite, it's not going to fight back with like tusks or bladed nails, but it's going to fight back with a stinger.
Yeah.
So the senior trainer, so luckily Peters was able to swim away. His feet were pretty messed up, though, and you saw that in the documentary after he'd...
He tried to stand up and run and just fell over again.
Exactly, but you could say that he didn't look like he was screaming out in pain. He was probably just... There was so much adrenaline running there because he saw the whale come after him, and like the other gentleman in the documentary said, exactly the same with me, I'd have been scared, absolutely fucking shitless.
Yeah.
Even though you built up the trust with the whale's now done something that you're 100%, you 100% haven't predicted. If you had, you wouldn't have been in the pool in the first place. So this whale's done something completely out of character, and you don't know what's going to happen next. He, I am also in belief, was coming to the realization that he could have died.
Yeah.
That could have been it. That he could have been taken under and the whale could have just kept him there.
Yep.
And he was coming to terms with that, but still wasn't struggling against the whale.
Yeah.
Which is admirable.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I figured he'd taken it that if he'd started struggling, it would have gone worse for him, which it would have.
Absolutely. So, this story, I don't want to say it's fun. It's amusing. And it's just basically a big reminder to if you're in an area that has a sea world or has a paddock with an aquatic mammal, the last thing that you do is wait until the paddock closes, go in there, strip off all your clothes and go swimming with it. So a 27-year-old man was found dead in an orca tank at SeaWorld. The victim's name was Daniel P. Dukes. And in July 7th, 1999, he was found on the back of Tillicum the whale after sneaking into the SeaWorld after hours. He stripped his clothes and jumped into the pool. It was reported that he caught hypothermia. However, that was not in fact the case. The medical examiner report was far more graphic and showed that the man had his genitals bitten off and there were bite marks all over his body. And I think we were discussing this during the documentary and may not have allowed for this information to be heard by both of us. But it is actually said in the documentary and speculated in the documentary that they don't know whether or not the genital biting happened before or after death. Maybe it was a result of.
Yeah, that's not something you want to happen, is it?
Absolutely not. So let's...
Balls to you.
Exactly. So let's jump away from Tillicum for a little bit and let's go over to the Canary Islands in Spain.
Or is that what you call a real free willy? Sorry.
And this is where you feel good about yourself because this is where the next death took place.
Good.
So the park that was there was not considered to have a good reputation. And again, that's the audio that you guys heard moments before. And there was only one trainer there that was considered to hold even a candle to trainers at SeaWorld. That was Alexis. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's basically Alex with IS on the end. Who had trained at SeaWorld for 12 months before his death. The park was not prepared to take on an orca, even young ones. And none of the other staff had experience with orca. So we listened to the... I mean, that's another teary moment. And it's weird because I don't usually get... theory towards people in an orca documentary. I'm usually like, fuck all the people and I'm sad about the whales. But I think there is another side to it. You've got the sadness towards the whales. If you're like me and you really, really care for these creatures, then you'll get emotional seeing them in captivity as well as in the wild because it's a really kind of... And you saw me towards the end of that documentary.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just from seeing them in the wild. I just can't keep myself together with that. But there is another side, and it's the side of the people that are affected by the death of the loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
They had no drive. They had little to no decision making in terms of the decisions that led to people to becoming trainers. They were passive bystanders that are suffering as a result of misinformation, poor training, poor keep of the animals, and ultimately leading to an animal having, in my mind, a perfectly logical reaction to its circumstances.
Mm, definitely. So cry out for sort of anything from the animal, isn't it? It's just frustration.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're just going to... Like, I think we've all been there where we've got frustrated at family members. I'm not saying we're going to grab hold of a family member's arm, tear it off and eat it. But I'm saying that... I'm saying that we've all had that moment where we've almost become another person, and the frustration in the moment completely overwhelms any previous compassion or love or sympathy or any other feelings that we have towards that person, because it's so important within the moment.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Rage is such a raw...
Oh, yeah, 100%. And the fact that, again, orca have a part of the brain that is enhanced... that has enhanced their emotion to beyond what humans are capable of. Is it not possible to speculate that orcas could have a greater capacity for rage?
Oh, yeah, I think that's... Given what I've just seen, I'd say, yeah, that's perfectly plausible.
Yeah. So, Tilikum... We're going to get over to Tilikum's third, and as I understand it, final kill. And that was the one of the most well-known, and it's the one that's most well-known. So during a day where most of the shows that were happening did not go to plan. However, Tilikum started following requests and it seemed to be going fine, but soon it did, but soon it went south when the whistle was blown and he missed his cue and went all the way around the pool continuing the request. Tilikum was then punished, and it was believed that he had not heard the whistle and would have become frustrated after having been punished. He followed the trainer towards a rocky ledge to take part in a relationship session, and that's where Tilikum grabbed hold of Dawn. In the end, she was completely mutilated. It was reported first that Dawn had slipped and fallen in, and there was blame placed on the fact that Dawn had been wearing her hair in a ponytail, and that was why the whale had grabbed hold of her. However, there were many and plenty other occasions where other trainers were doing exactly the same thing with no issue whatsoever. Those who support SeaWorld make the point that they do not believe that the values we put in marine animals would exist without the existence of places like SeaWorld, which is heavily contested by those who believe captivity makes aquatic mammals like Tilikum into ticking time bombs of frustration and pain. I personally think that the comment from that representative of SeaWorld is absolute fucking bollocks. I think it's... because it would be like me saying, okay... good doctor, come over to my house and spend time with my King Charles Spaniel Dash. Now I feel like that you spent 2 hours with Dash. I feel like that you have a greater understanding of a wolf. It's exactly the same thing, except it's an even more extreme example, because dogs have been domesticated and selectively bred over time, where whales haven't yet, and hopefully never will, go through this transition. They are still, though, in captivity. They are not experiencing the natural rhythms of the ocean. They are not hunting for themselves. They are not communicating with their pod. They are not spy hopping, which is something that I'd love to see in the world, where it's just that they come up and then go back down and they gain like a view of the land while they're swimming.
Yeah, it'd be like, a bit like having a pet rhino, wouldn't it? It's not something that's inherently violent.
No.
At least not towards humans anyway. It's just only violent really to defend itself and... Well, rhino's not even that point around eating, is it? But, you wouldn't go that close to one in the wild without it being sedated, would you?
No, so, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But my point is that going to places like SeaWorld is not a place where you can go and experience an orca and say that you've experienced an orca exactly like it is in the wild, because it's not.
Oh, no.
But that was the point that he was making, that you wouldn't have the appreciation for marine mammals if places like this didn't exist. And I don't think that's the case at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it yeah. Not trying to offend him. Maybe makes it more accessible to people.
Yeah, no doubt it does. But SeaWorlds aren't everywhere. You have to travel a fair amount of distance in order to find one. The closest one to us is the London branch. And my point is that would it not be beneficial? Would it not be far more interesting and informative to perhaps incorporate more? And I'm not saying let's turn the ocean into our private highway, but let's do more whale spotting tours. Let's get people out there into an environment where the orca are wild, where they're hunting, where they're at their in their kind of family units and doing what they do
in their own actual environment. Not
and let's get these idiots out of SeaWorld who think the orca only lived to the age of 30. I want, if this is going to start to happen, I want these people to be informed and I want them to be giving correct information. Because as soon as you start to spread disinformation, then that is where major problems start to arise. And ultimately could be many reasons why orca aren't cared for properly in captivity, because they believe that this is the best way of doing it. It was said that after the death of Dawn, that those animals like Tilikum that have served 25 years in the industry should be released into an open ocean paddock and that they can live out the rest of their lives and experience the natural rhythms of the ocean. Now, what do you think about that comment? Before I go into the final piece about Tilikum, what do you think about that?
About him spending the rest of his life in an open ocean paddock?
Yes.
I feel like it'd be a bit difficult fully releasing him back to the wild.
Okay.
He's never had to go and catch his own food.
These are good points, yeah.
He's not had to do anything by himself.
Go back in time and can you clone yourself into all the fans of various fucking whales and can you just replace them, please? Because countless whales have died because people didn't see that way.
Yeah.
And it's fucking annoying.
Well. you can't just take something that's been in captivity and then should straight away release it back into the wild.
It's especially just not something that's been in captivity ever since the age of two.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So it's like certain animals, particular zoos, if you go to like Port Limp or somewhere like that, they take in sort of sick wild animals, nurse them back to health.
And then release them.
And they might be in there for 2-3 years trying to get them back to full health.
Mm.
But they can't then release them straight away because they've been being fed like this. They've become quite dependent on that.
So
do kind of activities to get them back to doing what they would normally do in the wild. And then
but that's a far easier process over the course of, say, all the way up into even 5-6 years instead of almost a human's lifetime.
Yeah. Having a whale in captivity for 25 years.
And it's not captivity for the it's not captivity for the sake of curing illnesses. In fact, it causes more than it cures. And it's not for the purpose of rehabilitation. It's for the purpose of performance.
Mm.
It's exploiting. And sorry, I'm put on my personal view hat. I've completely abandoned all logic and reason and I'm just going to start ranting. But it is for the exploitation, at least as far as I can see, the exploitation of aquatic mammals in order to create income, revenue, profit.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
The big green monster.
Like, even when Sealand closed, even in the documentary, they said that they wanted to make a shiny buck on their way out.
Yeah.
So, and I really hate to go into this bit of information because it was something that we didn't get in the documentary, but on the 6th of January 2017, age 35, Tilikum died. He was never released and died where he had spent nearly all of his painful existence, in captivity. So one last example of how bad captivity is for orca and marine animals. So during the documentary, it was talked about how Tilikum was essentially used as a sperm donor.
Yep.
You got to see a whale dick.
Yeah.
Did you even understand how weird that is?
No.
So yeah, if you see pictures of dead sperm whale that's out like that, it's weird. But I guess, so if anyone's seen The Shape of Water, have you seen The Shape of Water?
No.
Oh, man. We've got to do a podcast where we sit down and watch that.
No.
Yeah, we're doing it. I don't care. We're fucking doing it. Because it also has a good message at the end. So, and it's gory as fuck. It's really, really good. Eggs, if anyone knows that reference.
Not me.
So, it much like in The Shape of Water, and spoiler alert, there is a human that has sex with a fish person, and I'm going to need you to cast your eyes to me in this moment. So when a friend of this lady's asking, how did you do it, she's mute, and she does this kind of like, or. And it's basically the same thing with Orca, where the penis is actually held within the body itself, and then once it becomes excited, it comes out like a fucking fire hose.
Excellent.
Yeah, so you got that image now. A flesh fire hose.
Thank you.
Sorry. Good dog. Yeah, but come on, you're a dog too. You must have seen weird shit.
Yeah.
There you go.
Lots of weird shit.
So, so Tillicum had 21 offspring, and this was a count that was made in 2017, presumably just after or just before his death. Only 10 are still fucking alive. 10
of those
21
ones. Wow,
what the fuck. They're not koi, they're not goldfish. I don't care. They don't eat their own fucking offspring. I know there's been documented cases where it's happened, but fucking nature's weird. There was a documentary where a penguin raped a seal or whatever that was. So nature's weird. But naturally, orca calves.
Just trying to imagine a penguin raping a seal.
There's footage of it. I'll show you.
I don't know. I don't want that.
Okay, well, you don't have to watch it. I've written into my book when I publish it. It's called, I think it's called The Beautiful... The Curious and the Ugly. I think that was... It was like a play off the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now I can just hear that piece of music in my head. Such a good piece of music. But... so... Yeah, I just... it's so fucking annoying. 10!
Yeah.
Fucking 10. 20... Well, 20 fucking one, man. It's...
So 11 whales died over a period 11, of like 30-ish years?
Yeah. And you saw that Tillicum's family tree, so you know that they're out. They have been out there, but they didn't make it. And no doubt that was not only down to perhaps transportation of orcas, or something as simple as that, where you're transporting them over a long distance, and you have to keep them from receiving heat stroke. You have to constantly feed ice into the little fucking bin that they're kept in, and you have to keep on refreshing the water, and they could probably die from that. But also we've seen and heard in the documentary that orcas have been like rammed into, and jaws been dislocated, cutting off vital lines of blood to the head, which caused them to bleed out. So many fucking bastards. Fucking hate them. Sorry.
I could feel the rage.
Oh God!
Perhaps a listener too can feel the rage.
Yeah. So,
Grandad is getting vexed.
I love you, Tillicum, and I'm so sorry that all of this happened to you. It was. You should have. You deserve better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I would love to say that that's where my research ends. It isn't.
But it does not.
No, I'm really sorry. So, you've seen the film Free Willy?
I've seen the first one.
Yeah, so there are three Free Willy films. There's a fourth one, which can go suck my fucking cock.
Can it go suck a big whale cock?
Yep, it can absolutely suck on that big old hose cock. So, Willy the Orca was named Kiko. That was the name that was given to the whale. Willy the Orca was a character that starred in three Free Willy films. And just like Tillicum, he was taken out of the ocean when he was just 2 years old. Also like Tillicum, his story does not end well, and definitely does not reflect the end of the first film. Man, watching these films again, I haven't watched the films since I found out this information. So watching them again, it's usually like an emotional train wreck for me when I watch them anyway, but I don't know how the fuck I'm going to watch them now. And, so the whale's name was Kiko, and in 1976 he was caught in a fishing net and lost his family.
Accidentally, or
it's unspecified by the information that I found.
Right. Okay.
Either way, they were like, "Oh, whale, let's not release him. Ah, captivity, fucking." So the Japanese word for Kiko means lucky.
For who?
Exactly. This definitely does not depict the life of the orca. He was born off the coast of Iceland, so kind of similar to where Tillicum was found. And after his capture, Kiko spent a lot of his time in different locations. One was a park in Mexico, and there his enclosure was too small for him. as well as this, his enclosure was completely indoors, and for a creature that relies heavily on echolocation, this environment was practically unbearable for him. Kiko was alone, and as orca are incredibly social creatures, this caused him to have a great amount of stress and sadness, even though he was only 8 at this point. And even though he was only 8 at this point, he was able to become acquainted with difficult tricks, despite the fact that the waters that Kiko was swimming in were not seawater, but instead fresh salted water, as the facility was poorly funded. It was not... if that was not enough, there was no air conditioning, and the room would get up to 30 fucking degrees. That I should probably specify that I didn't put fucking in the notes. That's my own personal ad. So while swimming in these terrible conditions, inflammations and ulcers started to appear on the skin, and the best way to describe the skin around the fins, it looked like he had been partially melted.
Wow.
There was like big grey skin. Basically imagine grandma's duck wings, kind of like that, but on a whale.
Mm.
So he was pretty sick. So his breathing was also massively affected. Where a healthy orc can die for quite a long time, Kiko could only hold his breath for no more than 5 minutes. Workers could not do anything as the funding was not there. However, Kiko was picked up for the role of Willy in the film series Free Willy. When he was 15, he worked several hours a day despite his illnesses. The first film took 2 years to film and audiences fell in love. However, people were unhappy to hear that Kiko was still in captivity despite the end of the film depicting otherwise, and wanted the release of the orca. It would seem that Kiko had become so familiar with his lifestyle that he was considered anything but ready for a free life. He did not understand how to hunt, so much like you were talking about just now. Mm-hmm. He would play with live fish in his tank instead of eating it. Kiko had not seen the open sea since he was 2, and was afraid of the sea and the depth of it, not knowing how to dive. And lastly, he was not familiar with the orca dialect that has been investigated as being different from each pod of orca, and would not be able to make contact with the others of his kind. Despite all this, the public pushed for the release of Kiko into the open sea, and preparations were made. A massive training pool was made for him, attempting to replicate the conditions of the ocean. Kiko did learn. However, one thing did remain, and that was his love for people, despite the way he'd been treated. The plan was to release Kiko where they had found him all those years before, off the coast of Iceland. Kiko travelled by plane and was out of the water for 18 hours. I should probably specify he was in water, but just not in that much water.
Yeah.
And was faced with law enforcement issues that prohibited the release of captivity orca into the wild for good reason, because of the risk of the spread of sickness. However, once again, a fucking push was made. Another problem came to light, though, when it was discovered that the now 22-year-old orca was simply too afraid of the open ocean. The orca settled into a fence bay that was where he stayed for a long 4 years. There, he had tourist visitors and did eventually learn how to get food for himself. He was not able to successfully contact with other orca, though. They drove him away each time, and as a result, he settled off the coast of Norway. The climate was not the same to what he had originally been familiar with, like in places like Mexico, where he was originally kept. And as a result, Kiko caught a cold and died. Despite the efforts of the vets trying to keep him alive, 27 was the age that Kiko the whale lived to, and his fans were in mourning, and the freedom movement was one of the most expensive in history towards Kiko the orca.
Wow.
So, oh, fucking hell. I think, instead of batting around the bush, I'm not going to faff. I'm going to ask you straight out. Now, what's your view on
SeaWorld?
On SeaWorld. Specifically SeaWorld. Let's keep it specific.
I mean, hearing more about that, yeah, it's just difficult to defend that action, isn't it? It's I think some of the stuff they do is fine, like having like an otter and a seal and like that kind of stuff. Probably better, isn't it?
I'd still not say it's great. I think the exploitation of any animal for the purpose of performance is barbaric.
Sure.
However, yeah. you're right in saying that it's probably better for the animal, because unlike seals and otters, orca, like I've said already numerous times, you're probably sick of it. I'm going to say it, that orca, dolphins and other whales, they have a greater capacity for emotion and they have a greater family unit.
Yeah.
Seals don't.
Like that is difficult. Yeah, I think it's not something that's probably sustainable, is it? It's not.
But it sustained itself for a long old time. I mean, it started off as a really kind of shit, like they said in the documentary, a shitty old park that was on a jetty that looked like it was on its last legs. And from that, it blossomed into a shit empire that's been going for God knows how long.
It's not, though, is it? It's... That house of cards has got to come tumbling down at some point, hasn't it?
My question is, how many more people have to die before that happens?
Well, looking at that, there was already well over a dozen cases of deaths. How many deaths
were there in total? So there were 3 deaths attributed to Tillicum.
Yeah.
That was 2 trainer deaths and 1 intruder death.
Yeah.
There were over 70 plus orca incidents. Not always deaths, but they could be mutilations. You saw that lady who came out of the pool that her arm was in a fucking U shape after she. Yeah. I don't know why the fuck she was fucking around with them anyway without a spotter as well. She was like tapping the orca on the nose with her foot. Of course it would. Come on.
Boop the snout.
Yeah, you're gonna get dragged under. She did.
Yeah.
I'm not victim blaming, but dumbass.
I'm not victim blaming, but I am victim blaming.
She's not dead, so.
Yeah, it's not a sustainable way to.
Even though I'm hot with rage and I obviously have quite a clear belief.
Yeah, I think your standpoint's pretty clear.
I don't want to start shaming people who go to SeaWorld. I'm not shaming you for having gone to SeaWorld. No. I'm not shaming all the people that I spoke to even today. Who said they've been to SeaWorld, most of them in London, but some of them have adventured out towards the Orlando and various other places. I'm not shaming you. I'm just saying that perhaps my movement in this is to create some awareness. So you're not just blindly fucking watching an aquatic mammal do the tricks and you go home, you're like, he's so happy. And he's still happy in his 20 by 30 foot dungeon.
Yeah. I was thinking about that in metres. That's 6 by 9 metres. That's really not big.
And that was 3 whales they had in there.
Yeah, that's not big.
Even young orca. Male orca, young, still big.
Yeah.
So.
You think about someone who's, like, what, 5 feet tall. That's 4 of them standing on top of each other. Yeah. That's one of the nobles, one dimension.
But that's only up. That's not outwards. They ain't whale girth. That's yeah. They still got to turn around. And I think they said during the documentary that the maneuverability of those orca towards the end was next to nothing. Yeah. Which probably led to this frustration, teeth rakes, and all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to round off this episode of Bear Show. I'm so sorry for bumming you guys out. Maybe go outside, give your family a hug. I don't know.
Go find a whale, give it a hug.
Go find a whale, give it a hug, but give it a hug in the wild. And if it's in captivity, make the right decision.
Start a campaign.
Yes. So, whales, especially orca, they are a killer by heart. In the wild towards their prey, they are incredibly loving towards humans. Don't fuck with them, and they won't fuck with you.
Sounds reasonable. Sounds like me, to be honest. In the morning, when I've just woken up.
So thank you very much, Dr. Manna, for joining us.
You're very welcome.
For this episode of Better Show, I'm so sorry that...
Yeah, very eye-opening one for me. This is, yeah.
Yeah. So whether or not it's day or night, evening, stare out your window. Look to the stars, because that's where some stars represent dead whales. Sad.
Make a foil hat out of a whale. No.
No. In the shape no. of a whale. Not out of a whale.
Don't make it out of a whale. God, no. Make a foil hat in the shape of a whale.
Of a shape there of a go. Whale. Tillicum, Kiko, we love you. Always in my heart. And keep an eye on... I'm going to plug it now. So keep an eye on Aquatic Inks on Instagram. That's Aquatic Inks, all in lowercase with a underscore between Aquatic and Ink. Same on Twitter. You will find our movement starting there. This podcast, what's today? What is today's date?
It's the 11th.
So on the 11th, the campaign hasn't yet kickstarted. There is a message up on the site to say that the images are going to become graphic. It's not my usual art, but it's still aquatic and it's sending a good message. There will be over 100 hand-drawn illustrations, hopefully between now and the end of the academic year.
I was hoping you guys say between now and the end of time, but hey, you know.
Well, no. I think only giving myself 100 images to draw, I think that's kind of slacky, mate. I'm not a schmuck. I'm driving myself.
You expect 100 million.
Cool. But I did 12 yesterday, so hopefully.
On track, maybe?
Yeah, I'm definitely on track.
But, 400 million?
Oh, not by the end of the academic year. But thank you so much for watching, guys. Have a good life and death, and we will see you guys next week for a happier episode!
Good night, fellas.